when I was flying down to Jamaica, again, I had that same three-hour flight kind of a thing. And so I'm kind of just thinking over things, and we had just been at a leadership conference where they were talking about the history of Foursquare. And one of the things is the founder of Foursquare, Amy Simple McPherson, she had this saying, and I think I have it. Is it the next one? Yeah. She was always saying, what is my task? And she would always say this is my task, to get the gospel around the world in the shortest possible time to every man and woman and boy and girl. She knew what her task was. And after that, I'm on the plane, just I'm like, what is my task? What is my task? And my task is to facilitate the next generation of Mexicans to accomplish what God has called them to do. That's my task. The thing is that what I have is that I have to make sure that I am focused on my task. Because there's oftentimes a lot of things that come as distraction. Just a few weeks ago, we had a conference in Mexico, and I was the one that oversaw the transportation of getting the people, because it was people from Canada, the U.S., and Mexico all coming together into Tijuana. And it was my job to facilitate the transportation across the border and everything and from the airports. And I did a lot of the driving. There was one day I did three round trip trips going from Tijuana to the San Diego airport and back. That took all day, literally. It was started at about 9:30 in the morning. I finally finished up about 12:30 at night. The thing is that what that did is it kind of adjusted the rest of my week, because I lost a whole day of stuff. And so I was playing catch up. And then I had to take them back, which took a whole another 2 days, actually. The thing is that, is my task being the driver? No. Am I called to be a driver? No. Can I do it? Do I know how to do it? I am pretty good at it. Some people would question that statement, but especially driving through Tijuana. But that's a whole other story. The rules are different. But that's not my task. And sometimes, a friend of mine told me this. It was a quote from Oswald Chambers, and he says, the best is often, the good is often the enemy of the best. You can get so wrapped up in doing good things, because me driving across these people across the border, that's a good thing. But what it did is it detracted from me doing my best thing, which was being a part of some of the conference that I probably should have been a part of. Sometimes we get so distracted by, hey, I'm doing ministry, I'm doing something good for God. But is it what he's called you to do? Or is that something that he's called somebody else to do? And that's one of the things that I'm really dealing with right now. You see, the thing is that Jesus knew his task. Because it started in Genesis. He was part of the we. I think I have is that the next one? Oh, I got through that one. Oh, there we go. Genesis 3:15. This is in the Garden of Eden. This is right after the fall. Already he's talking about, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel, talking to the serpent, knowing that he's predicting already that you may inflict some pain, but he's going to defeat you completely. Yes. This is immediately after the fall. And then throughout the Old Testament, it starts pointing to what's going to be happening when he shows up on that night in Bethlehem. The next one. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give you a birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. This is in Isaiah. This is thousands of years before he shows up. The plan is in place, and Jesus knew what his plan, his task was. The next one. When Israel was a child, I will love him. I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. This is hearkening to the time that he has to spend in Egypt before, as a child. See, this plan is all the way through the Old Testament. The Christmas story does not start in the New Testament. The Christmas story starts in Genesis and works its way through the next one. But he will be pierced for our transgression. He will be was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Already hearkening to the stuff that we are able to the promise that we're able to grasp a hold of. And hold on to the last one, I think. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that other word, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old and from ancient times. Again, Micah. Again, Old Testament. The Jesus had a plan. He had a task. And he knew what his task was. You hear in Luke, the early part of Luke, where they go to Jerusalem, his family does, and when they leave, they think that he's with another family, and they're like, isn't Jesus with you? Because, no, he's with you. No, he's not. They couldn't find him. So they have to go back a couple of days, back into Jerusalem, and he goes, why are you looking for me? You know I need to be about my father's business. He was 12 years old. He already knew what his task was. How many times in the New Testament do you hear about the apostles asking, so when are you going to kick these old Romans out of here? This is what we expect the Messiah to do. He's supposed to be setting up a new kingdom. They never got the fact that Jesus wasn't about that earthly kingdom. He was establishing the heavenly kingdom that he had already had. You see, Jesus knew what his task was. The Garden of Gethsemane, he's like, I don't want to do this, but I know I have to. He knew what his task was. And what was his task? His task was to reestablish a way for the Father and you to have a personal relationship. That was his task. Because before that, that wasn't even possible. But he knew what he was there for. He knew what the point was. The thing is that each one of us have a task. God has given each one of us a specific task. January's task is different than mine. Thank God. Because she's better at it than I. My task is different than hers. Each one of us has something that God has placed in us that is we have been tasked with. The Bible says, go and make disciples. It also says, go and be my witnesses. This is not just for Pastor Pat. It's not limited. If you are a pastor, if you have gone to seminary, go and do this. No. It says everyone. This is to every person. Everybody has been called and been sent somewhere. The question is, where? Not everybody is called to go to another country like Jenny and I have been. But maybe, just maybe, you're called to be the one light in a very dark neighborhood. Or maybe at your workplace. Because we all know that, when things kind of go sideways at a workplace, you don't go to the foreman. You go to the person that's been there. They know how to get out of it, right? It's not generally the boss, it's usually somebody else who's the unofficial, if something's going sideways, that's the person you talk to. Can we be that person? It may not even be the thing, if things are going sideways in the business, maybe things are going sideways in their family. And they're like, you know what? I've seen them go through something similar, and yet they have a peace about them that's different. I want that peace. Maybe that's what you're called for. Maybe you're called to go to another area do other ministry is talk to somebody who needs to hear your story. We've all been called to go somewhere to do something. We all have a task. And the thing is that once I found out what my task was, once I focused in on that, then I could try to not have the distractions. I look at things, I'm like, wait, is that going to help me with my task? Or is that going to be a distraction to my task? Because it might be something that's really, really good. I have experience with construction. And we had a team come down, and they were replacing a roof on a pastor's. At the time, I just thought it was, you know, it had been leaking. Little did I know it had been leaking for over 20 years, so the damage was much deeper than I had thought. So we go and we start pulling that off, and this project becomes huge. I'm up there because I'm the one in charge, and I'm the one that did all this stuff. And I go to step on a board, come to find out it's not a solid board, and I fall through. Not my most graceful moment, but anyway. The thing is that what it did is like, it's like, wait a minute. Do I need to be the person on that roof? I don't. I can oversee and I can do other things, but just because I have the ability does not mean that that's the best use of my time. Had things kind of gone a little different, which was a possibility, I could have been out of the picture for a long time. Thank God I'm not. But it kind of reminded me of this thing of like, what is your task? And once we focus on what God has called us to do, it makes it a lot easier to understand that there's a lot of other things that are distractions. So my question to you this morning is this. What is your task? What has God called you specifically to do? What is it that you are uniquely wired from who God made you to be that you can use to help God reach other people? We have, you know, this is the season of hope, which right now there's a whole lot of people out there that are desperate for the hope that you have. So how is it that you can use your natural talents to be that light, that source of hope, to direct them to who God is, to direct them to a place of peace that they are desperately trying to find? God's called each and every one of you to do that, one way or another. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be standing up front and preaching to, you know, 1,000 people. It may be a one-on-one conversation with somebody that just needs to hear your story. That could be your task. That's a task that each one of us can fulfill. That is something. So I encourage you, I challenge you this morning. Let's try to find out what that specific task that God has for us. And in this new year, let's accept the challenge that he's given us. Yes, yes. All right. Thank you.